ready to head back to California. In December, I had the privilege of working with teachers in the LA Unified School District during their gifted symposium, and it was just a really tremendous experience, and the teachers that I worked with were passionate and intelligent, so I'm very excited to have this opportunity to go back and work with those teachers again. There, I was gifted this shirt. It says Chaos Coordinator, hashtag teacher. So as I was packing up and looking at the shirt, I found myself thinking about how true this really is, how it feels like we are constantly trying to coordinate the chaos in our classrooms or in our organizations as a whole. And I wanted to share the four main takeaways or four main hacks that I have for making sure that that chaos feels coordinated. So the first is making sure that we have really clear directions. And I think that sometimes when we talk about clear directions, we feel like creating a lot of directions makes them more clear. And I would say that the opposite is actually true. So you want to make sure that you're giving very clear, concise directions. And that may mean that you're chunking the directions that you're giving out, meaning you might give students just enough direction to get started and leave it in a place that they can easily access it. So this may mean that it's displayed on a board. It could be on a printed direction. Perhaps you have laminated cards. Perhaps they're posted somewhere in the room. But again, you really want to make sure that they are clear and concise, and also make use of your digital tools that you have at your disposal. Bold certain words, underline or italicize things that need to stand out. I actually have a whole ebook on how to write some really good directions for projects, so I'll put that link in the comment section below. Another quick strategy related to directions is that it can sometimes help to make a certain student a captain over a chunk of directions. And what that'll do for you is, one, it sort of empowers that student. And this may be a kid who is really good at giving directions, or maybe someone who has some growth potential related to direction following, and then putting them in charge of it will sort of inspire them to follow the direction a little bit more themselves. And then when a student comes up and asks you a question about that direction, you, rather than having to take the time to answer it when you may be conferencing with another group, you can simply say, hey, go check in with Sarah. She knows how to help you with that question. Number two, make sure you also have clear objectives. And the reason I say this, for multiple reasons. So first, you want to make sure your students know what their ultimate purpose is. So what are we hoping that they're going to take away from this learning experience? Even in an inquiry-based lesson, you want to make sure that the students have some kind of idea or concept of their purpose. Two, it really helps you that when another adult walks into your room, sometimes you can feel a little bit tense, like, oh, does this look like chaos? Are they wondering, like, if I even know what's going on? As long as you and your students are really clear on what the objective is, and someone comes in and starts talking to you or your students about it, no one's going to have any hesitation talking about the ultimate learning that we're hoping to have come out of this activity. You can also post these in really good places as well. So you may have post the learning objective on your screen guidelines. Perhaps it's posted somewhere in your room along with those directions. Again, making that really clear. The learning objective also really helps you when you're conferencing with kids because it ensures that you're conferencing about the ultimate content. So the third thing is organizing your resources. So having the chaos going on in your classroom and it looks totally disorganized really is built upon the basis that the class is organized in the first place. So students should know exactly where they're going to acquire all of their supplies and exactly where those supplies need to go when they're finished. And along with the supplies, they also need to know where to access the learning materials that they need. Where are they going for research? Where are they going to access their directions or their learning objectives? You want to make sure that all those materials are in a place that students know where it is and can access easily. And the last thing related to that is timing. So the other thing you want to make sure you have is time to allow students to sort of clean up and regroup at the end of your lesson. And this sounds like sort of like a waste of time, but in the long run, it's going to allow you to sort of leave that experience at the end of the day with a sense of closure, which ultimately will allow you to start the lesson and start the experience the next day in a much better place. I was personally the kind of person who needs to set a timer to make sure that happens, and then sometimes I also put a kid in charge of reminding me to stop, and allowing those 5-7 minutes at the end of the class period to make sure everything gets put away where it belongs. You can have a little recap reflection session with your students, allows everyone to sort of leave that moment feeling really calm and confident in what they learned that day. So those are my 4 quick strategies for coordinating the chaos in your classroom, and I hope everyone has a really great day.